Seeking healing, finding forgiveness. You know, everyone needs what Christ can do. Everyone needs what Christ can do. Not what we can do ourselves, but what He does for us. Now, the one truth that really happens if we pay any attention at all is that each of us are sinners in need of a Savior. Each of us are sinners in need of a Savior. Now, that's in one sense our salvation in Christ is sort of once and done as we recognize that we need His Savior, His salvation, that Jesus died for us, that we cannot pay the sins our lives on our own. You might hear. And Christ died once for all. However, as individuals, we've given into the lies of the world. We've given into the lies of our flesh. We've given into the pride of our own lives. And we are still sinners in need of a Savior day by day. We need the forgiveness of Christ. We need the blood of Christ to cover us. We need the Holy Spirit of Christ to infuse us with God's holiness. But, you know, there are always those who don't want to agree, because there will always be some that want to hide their unholiness. This is true always. The Pharisees pretended holiness. And they pretended that through self-righteousness. They pretended that by standing up in the courtyards where everyone could see and having their great prayers. Jesus, one time, he looked at the Pharisee and then the humble tax collector, publican, it says, a traitor to the country who'd come to the temple to pray. The Pharisee stood, raised his hands, and said, "I thank you, God, that I'm not like these other sinners here." And the publican, humble before God, who couldn't even raise his head, said, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." Jesus said, it's that one that's humble before God who has God's ear, who has God's reward. It is his prayer that was heard. But, you know, we like to put on our fancy robes. We like to dress up well. There's evidence of people misbehaving and trying to cover it up at every level of society, at every level of church leadership, at every level of in the pews at church. There are those that are having active affairs and leading worship. There are those that are having active affairs and still seeking to preach. Unfaithful to their wife, how can they be faithful to their God? Those are realities that we face because people want to hide their unholiness. Now, some will seek healing. Some will seek healing. They will notice how damaged their lives are because of what sin has done in their lives. And they will seek the healing of God. From Psalm 25, there's some earlier verses that talk about his sense of being unholy, but his sense of needing God's grace. But here in 16 and 17, you see that he's coming to God for healing. David is writing this psalm, a song of repentance and a song of confession. He says, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am alone and afflicted. The distresses of my heart increase. Bring me out of my sufferings." You know, he was seeking healing because he knew that he was broken. He knew that he was, well, all those things that were part of the song we sang, "Just as I am, I come broken to be mended, I come wounded to be healed, I come guilty to be pardoned, I come empty to be filled." All important things. David knew that. And because of that, then the truth is that he, as others, can find forgiveness. Some will seek healing, and they will discover that it is in forgiveness that healing comes. Psalm 25:18. "Consider my affliction and trouble and forgive all my sins." That was David's prayer. You see, he was alone. He was hurt. He was wounded. He was in need of a Savior. He was in need of forgiveness. He knew the truth of his heart. The reason why David is the apple of God's eye is because David is one who's willing to reflect on his life and seek God for those things that he needs. It's not because he's a perfect man. It's not because he's a perfect example of humanity. He has, such a boatload of faults that we should be amazed that God wants to save him at all. But the truth is, we do too. Why would God want to save me? Why would God want to forgive me? I mean, I can give myself a big long list. I'm not going to give that to you. I'm your pastor. You don't want to know all that stuff. That's forgiven, and that God has cleansed me of by his grace and his mercy. But it also means that along the way, there was that period of sorrow and that period of confession and that period of repentance, which means turning around, going another way, not just continuing the same old way. David found forgiveness because as he repented, he was willing to make a change in that time, then and there. And he found forgiveness. That forgiveness led to his healing. He was seeking healing. He discovered he needed forgiveness, and he found both. The truth of God is this: that God loves us so much, it's a plain old gospel, that he wants to pour light into our lives. He wants us to enjoy the presence of his Son. He wants us to know Christ and know hope and know him. The truth of God, as John begins to share it again in 1 John, in his letter there, he says many of the same things in the opening as he does in the opening of the Gospel of John. But in the letter of John, he shares this truth of God in 1 John 1:5. This is the message we've heard from him. "It's a message we declare to you. God is light. There is absolutely no darkness in him." Absolutely no darkness in him. But the problem is, we tend to just keep tripping along in our darkness. Now, Bobby likes to walk the dog in the daylight, you know, because after all, most people walk their dog in the daylight. I'd like to walk the dog at night after I'm home and after everything's done. And so, you know, I'll go down, up and down all kinds of places that Bobby's not all that comfortable with. but also because she can't always see what the obstacles are, what the challenges are, where the cracks in the road are, where it might be slippery, or where somebody might have left something in the wrong spot, or on and on and on. And so when Bobby walks at night, then she does that with a flashlight, because she wants to know. She wants to know what her feet are going to fall on. Now, I'm one of those that when I'm walking the dog at night, I might just be tripping along in the darkness. Well, here's the problem with that. As we'll trip along in the darkness, but what we're reminded in 1 John 1:6 is this. If we say we have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in darkness, we're lying and not practicing the truth. Why? Go back to verse 5. It said, God is light. There's absolutely no darkness in him. So if we're walking in him, we're walking in light. If we say we have fellowship with him, but we're still in the dark, where's our light? Where's our light? Did we even bring any with us? Is it an external light that we hope will shine on it? Or is it an internal light that God pours into us? But the problem is we don't like that much light all the time. We really don't like the light of God lighting up the corners of our hearts, lighting up the edges of our lives. We don't like that light just showing us where the flaws are, showing us where the problems are, showing us where we need to take a part of ourselves and our behaviors and admit to it, confess to it. You know what confess means? Confess means tell the truth. I confess Jesus as my Savior. I'm telling the truth that I believe him as Savior. But also I confess my sins, which means I'm going to say to God, I know what you know about the truth of my sin. God already knows. When we confess our sins, we agree with God instead of trying to disagree with him. If we refuse to confess our sins, that's a disagreement with God. I don't think that's a good place to be. And that's why we end up in this trouble in the first place. You see, when we're forgiven, we can find the light of God. 1 John 1:7 says it this way. If we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Again, remember, it's not cheap. It's a gift of God that we cannot purchase. It's expensive. It is without price, but not cheap. The blood of Jesus, his son, is our atoning sacrifice for our sin. And yet, it still just amazes me, and I think it probably amazes God sometimes, that we're so stubborn, we are still too proud to admit sin. We're still too proud to admit sin. We want people to see our nice Pharisaical robes. We want people to see how good we look when we dress up for church. We want people to see what we want them to see. But you know, God looks past all of the outside things and sees into our heart. John 1:8 says this, if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. The truth is not in us. Now, it's good that the next verse comes up on this. But the truth is, if we're too proud to admit our sin, we're lying to ourselves about our sinful nature. And lying to ourselves is never a way that we're going to make it from where we are to where we need to be. We need to tell the truth to ourselves. We need to confess the truth to ourselves so that we might seek the remedies that we need. Proverbs 28:13 says this, "The one who conceals his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them will find mercy." That's from the days of Solomon. That's 1,000 years before Christ. The writings are, "The one who conceals his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them will find mercy." See, John had said, if we say we have no sin, we are liars and the truth isn't in us. And if Proverbs remind us, if we conceal our sins, we cannot prosper. But there's a way out. If we would confess and renounce our sins, repent, turn around, we'll find mercy. And now John goes on to say, remind us of this. The promise of forgiveness is for those who confess. 1 John 1:9, one of my favorite verses, and if this wasn't in the Bible, I would be lost, I think, because this is my constant reminder. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. I'm not very faithful in my behaviors, not all the time. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful. He is righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confessing is we're agreeing with God that we're sinful. He is faithful and righteous. He has provided the atoning sacrifice, and He will apply it to us. That's His faithfulness. That's His righteousness. Christ died for our sin. The blood of Christ, the Son of God, is the atoning blood of our sacrificial lamb. And God will use that to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. That's when we've sinned against God, and we need to pay attention to that day by day. Now, I believe in holiness as the Holy Spirit invades our life and takes over. But if we try to apply holiness on the outside, like it's a salve or a balm or a lotion, it's just not going to do any good. The holiness won't last long. Oh, it'll smell fine for a while until it mixes with everything else under there and starts to smell rancid. Holiness is not something we apply on the outside. It's something that God does on the inside by the power of His Holy Spirit. And more and more and more, we become more and more like Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But we do that by listening to the Spirit. We do that by following the Spirit's lead. We do that by understanding that God loves us so much, there's no price He wouldn't pay to see us make it to heaven with Him. Even the price of His Son. If we confess, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But something we also miss in the Scripture is found in the book of James. We also must confess to each other. Tell the truth to each other. James 5:16 says this, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. We become righteous by grabbing hold of the righteousness of Christ. And it's when we're covered by the blood, when we're atoned of our sins, when we've been washed of our unrighteousness, and we know that it's just because Christ has done this, we become one of those righteous people that can pray for others and seek their healing, not just in their body, not just in their mind, but also in their soul and in their heart and from their sin. Sin is a deadly disease. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, His Son. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Now, we don't really like that idea of letting anybody else in on what our sins are. We don't like that idea of confessing face to face. We'd rather go in our closet and say, well, I confess to God, so I'm done. Well, how about those who are affected by your sin? How about those that are suffering because of your sin? If we go to ask God for forgiveness, we do not need a priest in the middle between us and God. That's not the point. Confessing to each other is not a matter of needing a priest. It's a matter of needing accountability in our lives. Needing accountability in our lives and being accountable to those who have suffered because of our sin. And you know what? You need to be face to face to seek the forgiveness of each other. It doesn't really work long distance. You know, these days people break up with text messages, et cetera, et cetera. You know, too afraid. Too afraid. Why are we so afraid of each other and yet we don't act like we're afraid of God? Why are we afraid to admitting to another human that we have wronged them, that we have sinned against them, that we need their forgiveness, and yet we will say, well, I told God I'm a sinner and he saved me, so I'm good. Aren't we afraid of God? Have we no fear of the Holy One? Forgiveness is given to us by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we must remember that means it does not come cheap. Every one of us are sinners in need of a Savior. Every one of us need what only Christ can do, and that is forgive us. Every one of us needs to know what it's like to have a godly sorrow for sin that leads to repentance, as the scripture says. Because sin is a big deal. Sin against others is a big deal. And when we ask someone to forgive us, it's going to cost them something. It's going to cost them greatly to forgive us. That's why so many people would rather hold a grudge and hang on to it and keep it for themselves. Forgiveness does not come cheap, even between human beings. This is why when it's time for forgiveness, you need to recognize your sin. You got to confess it to yourself first. Don't lie to yourself about it. Confess it to yourself first. Don't make excuses. And then confess it to that one who's been harmed. Don't make excuses. Tell the truth. When I did this, I know I hurt you deeply. And I have no idea just how much that hurt you. But I want to ask your forgiveness. Now, I don't want you to cheapen that by saying, I said I'm sorry. You know, the person who's hurt was sorry. Now you have godly sorrow, maybe. Now you're sorry, and they're sorry. Two sorry people instead of one. That worked. If you walk away then, nothing's happened. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. And repentance means you're willing to say, I have sinned against you. I ask your forgiveness. And in order to forgive something, sometimes we need to say, I will forgive you because I have promised God I will. But first, you need to hear what this is costing me to forgive you. See, we also pay a cost for our forgiveness so that we can be cleansed. Accountability is not easy, but the results are what God wants. because He wants us to be refreshed together. He wants us to know what it's like to have fellowship through God the Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, one with another, forgiven and living a full life. Forgiveness doesn't come cheap, but forgiveness brings healing. Let us pray together. Lord, it's hard to know just how much You have suffered. Father, forgive us for thinking that it doesn't matter to You when we sin. Jesus, forgive us for thinking that our sin did not drive one of those nails in another inch as it's pounding You to that tree. Father, forgive us for thinking it's trite when it's not. Holy Spirit, forgive us for going against Your guidance, not only in living our lives, but also in how we confess and seek forgiveness. But Lord, You have so much to do in our lives. So much more You're willing to do than we're willing to let You do. Father, open our hearts that we might confess to You, confess to one another, pray for one another, and truly be healed, entering into the shalom peace of God. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.